sorry, I'm the annoying guy who preempts the program at this time of year because it's such a crucial time for the health of Fortis Institute. It is year-end giving season. Right now, we have a match campaign, which means your gift will be doubled, which means your impact will be doubled. If and it's possible, it could happen. Maybe you have benefited from Witness Wednesdays. Would you please consider partnering with us now? We want to continue going to campuses. We want to go to campuses next year in a bigger way than we ever have. We want to reach young people with the gospel. We want to equip the saints to share and defend the gospel. That's what we do pretty much every day, but especially on Wednesdays. So if you're already supporting your local church and you have the means available, please, would you consider supporting us now? FortisInstitute.org/donate. Enough of me, the annoying guy. Let's get to that really pleasant host.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness.
It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. We are at Georgia Tech. All right, there's a young man who just pulled up with a bag of Chick-fil-A, which is the preferred chicken sandwich of the South. Oh, he's going to hate me for this. Hey, young man, I'm not going to interrupt your eating because it's Chick-fil-A. Just keep eating. I mean it. Okay. I just want to ask you a question on the radio. You okay with that?
Sure, why not?
What's your first name, young man?
Ryan.
Ryan. And you're a healthy guy, aren't you? You eat healthy and well, don't you?
Most of the time.
You know how I know that?
How?
Because you didn't get the deep-fried Chick-fil-A.
I got that one yesterday.
Ah! So much for my wisdom. All right, what are you studying here?
Computer engineering.
All right, are you a religious guy at all?
No.
Really?
I would say no.
That's odd, because this is the Bible Belt. You should be. You should be like a Southern Baptist or something.
This is Atlanta, it's not the South.
Ah! You know, you're kind of right. Are you from here?
Yeah, just outside from Dunwoody.
Okay, you're right, because I actually moved from Minneapolis, and you're right. Mm-hmm. Atlanta really isn't the South. But if you get up further north by the mountains, It gets pretty southern.
Yeah.
You can actually, when you're driving, you can actually hear banjos playing off in the distance. It gets pretty southern out there. Okay, so you're not a religious guy at all, is that correct? At all?
Correct.
Do you believe in God?
Probably not the Christian one.
But which one do you believe in?
Maybe something. I don't want to say I'm agnostic, because, I don't know.
Well, agnostic just means you don't know.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to say you're atheist.
I wouldn't want to say atheist, that's definitely right, but I haven't thought about it enough to...
To figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to make an effort in 30 seconds to prove to you that God exists, and I'm going to do it with your Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Who made your Chick-fil-A sandwich?
I didn't catch your name. Someone behind...
Didn't even see the person make it.
Right.
Right. And yet somehow you know that somebody made that sandwich, correct? You don't know the person's name, you don't know their attributes, but you know that they made a sandwich, and the proof that there is a creator of your sandwich is you've got a sandwich in your hands. Here is proof that there's a creator of the universe, the universe. You know that there is a universe maker because you have the proof of a universe which is more intricately designed than your Chick-fil-A grilled sandwich. There you go.
I don't know. Me having a sandwich really just proves that I have a sandwich.
Uh-huh. And you sitting on a creation proves that there's a creator.
Proves that I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I'll even work with that.
I could have popped in here. No reason. Just because.
Yeah, that seems a little science fiction-y, but okay. It seems like you're here. It feels like you're here. You think, therefore, you are, aren't you? If I punched you in the nose, you wouldn't say... Hey, I could just be an illusion. No worries. If I grabbed your sandwich and ran, which I'm frankly a little bit tempted to do, although I'm a bit of a germaphobe and I probably wouldn't eat there, nothing personal, you would chase after me. And you wouldn't go, well, this is just kind of an existential universe. No big deal. You'd run it. If I stepped on your foot. Well, yeah, sure, you'd get over it, but you had to get over something, which is the demonstration that this is real. You're feeling stuff. You're here, dude. Question is, how'd you get here? Did he get Big Banged, or do you think he got created?
I'd have to say Big Bang. And then a long series of slightly random occurrences later, I'm here.
I'm going to tell you a proverb, right? A proverb says that a friend will wound, an enemy multiplies kisses. Translation of that is somebody who truly cares about you will say a hard thing to you. An enemy will always just go, you're great, it's wonderful, but they'll stab you in the back. Do you want to know why I bring that up?
Wow.
I'm going to wound you right now. You got a piece of lettuce on your front tooth, right? And I care about you enough to tell you that hard thing.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Now, you know your sandwich was made. The proof that you were made by somebody is you. You are more intricately designed than that sandwich. Somebody put you... Nobody blew up a bunch of materials and that sandwich came to be. Nobody blew up a bunch of stuff. Or a bunch of stuff didn't get together and blow up all by itself and become you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. How's that? You, my friend, have a creator. The question is, who is it? Because I don't think we can go about the business of trying to make up in our own minds who it is. That would be ridiculous. Because
I would agree with that more.
It'd be like fashioning a piece of wood and worshiping it on an altar. It doesn't make... I mean, if it's not a real God...
So,
the question is, what is truth? Who is the true God?
I would agree that your proof is a prettier explanation than mine, but... Doesn't
Dude,
mean I necessarily believe
what
it.
What an honest man. Really. Good on you for that. But you don't believe it anyway.
Probably not.
I think I know why.
What's that?
I think inside of the human brain, there's a thing called the conscience. That little courtroom that says, I've done bad things. I have done wrong things. And if I acknowledge that there's a creator and admit that there's a creator who gave me that conscience, I'm going to have to give an account. And I'm going to have to abide by that creator's rules that are written in my heart. And I don't want to. It's obvious. The creation proves there's a creator. My conscience tells me what his rules are, and I don't want to live by them. Therefore, I will suppress the obvious truth so that I can live any way that I want to.
I would argue that we don't have a way of knowing the rules that anything that might have made us would impart on us.
Well, your conscience. Lying, stealing, murdering. That gives us a pretty good idea about who the moral lawgiver is, that those would be the rules. All right, I want to try something pretty radical with you, all right? I'm going to try to probe into your conscience for a minute and dig in there and put some paddles on it to see if we can awaken it, all right? So I'm going to take a veering away from logic and reason and philosophy for a moment, and I'm going to get into morality and into your heart, all right? How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
A lot.
Okay. If I told a lot of lies, what would you call me? What name would you give to me?
What's your name?
Todd.
I'd call you Todd.
Todd the... rhymes with pants on fire.
Radio spokesman. I mean...
Who's
I'm
a liar?
I'm not going to judge you for that. I've lied.
I know that, but that doesn't mean that I'm not a liar just because you've lied. If a murderer's murdered and he goes, well, that guy's murdered, so I'm not a murderer, that's ridiculous. If you've lied, that would make you a...
That's a jump.
What do you mean it's a jump?
Lies
you call me
to,
a liar.
Lies don't dominate your lifestyle. I'm assuming
have
you haven't
to.
Been lying to me this entire time.
I have not. How many murders would a murderer have to commit before he becomes a murderer?
That's...
One.
One, because it's a much more drastic step than a lie.
Ah, well, let's deal with that in just a moment.
Okay.
All right, that's a very fair response, but it only takes one violation of the principle to be that thing. If you murder once, you're a murderer. If you lie, you're a liar. Have you stolen one thing in your life?
Yeah.
All right. So what would that make you? Somebody who steals something is called a...
I believe you're aiming for a thief.
Or a televangelist. But let's go with thief. All right? Okay, so you're a liar and a thief. All right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever lusted?
Yes.
All right. So inside of your heart. So not just the things you do or say, but what's going on inside of that brain. Imagine this. Let's say we put a computer chip behind your ear and we recorded every thought that ran through your noggin for 1 week, 7 days, and then we pulled together all your pals here at Georgia Tech, all of your friends and family, and we took that computer chip, popped it into a computer, put it up on a big screen, and they got to see your heart.
My heart's behind my ear?
Close enough. You get the point.
Yeah.
Don't be a literalist with me.
Sorry.
That's my job. All right. What do they see?
Very strange string of thoughts and a lot of things I wouldn't want them to see.
Exactly. God sees them. God knows them. Everything you've done, everything you failed to do, that you should have done. Every time you've taken his name in vain, instead of swearing or using a filth word, you actually use God's name. All recorded because he is more thorough than a computer chip behind your ear. Now, this judge, God, is going to have a day of reckoning because he's a just judge. We like justice. We like criminals forced to give an account for what they have done. We like to see justice served, and so does God. I think we get that idea from God. The Bible says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Someday he's going to kill you. That's how it works. You don't die because he's sustaining your life, whether it's through pleasant means or unpleasant. He's going to call your number, and you will be done breathing. And you will stand before him and give an account for every thought, every word, every deed. Will he say that you are an innocent man or a guilty man?
Guilty of what? I guess I'd ask.
Lying, stealing, lusting, blasphemy, coveting, dishonoring your parents.
Yes, I have done those.
So you'd be guilty, all right? So if God is just, what should this just judge do with you? Take you to heaven or send you to hell?
Assuming this would happen, I don't know.
I think you do. You just don't want to say it. I wouldn't.
Hmm?
It's a horrifying thought. Nobody wants to go, you know, I think I'm going to hell when I die. Because hell's a horrible place.
I have not said I thought that, and I don't.
Well, you think hell's a good place?
It's not what I said either.
No. Do you want to go to hell?
Not particularly.
I don't. But if God is just, should he reward you or punish you?
He'd probably punish me for not believing in him, according to your
standards. Among other things, yeah. That would be another thing. That would be another crime among many crimes. Disbelief is one crime among lying, stealing, lusting, murdering, being angry at people, dishonoring your parents. You would go to hell.
Okay.
All right. Dude, can you tolerate me for another couple of minutes?
Sure.
All right. I got to do a break. And we'll come back. All right?
Okay.
Hold on. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what momentum feels like? When the work you've been doing for years, it starts to reach people you never dreamed you'd reach. That's what 2025 has been for Fortis Institute. We're on over 600 radio stations now, over 120 TV networks. Our Fortis Plus app is streaming on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, everywhere people are watching. And something we never thought we'd do? We closed the warehouse. Every single resource we have is now completely free. 300,000 Play the Man booklets made it into the hands of students this year. We had 3 campus events attended by students who are hungry for truth. Our Fellows podcasts are all ranking in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford released his new book, and millions, literally millions, are watching on YouTube. But here's the thing about momentum. You can't coast. You have to keep pushing, and that's why December matters so much. Every gift you give this month is matched dollar for dollar up to $500,000. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now. Gift today and double your impact. Let's keep the momentum going.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. his work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are listening to a modern day miracle. This is Wretched Radio. We're at Georgia Tech, and I'm sitting next to a modern day, maybe not a miracle, but definitely an anomaly. A computer engineer with a witty personality. His name is Ryan. Dude, you're just kind of not the stereotype. You should have a pocket protector and be a little dorky, but you're kind of witty.
Thank you.
A little on the sassy side, too.
That means a lot.
Alrighty. It does?
Yeah.
I just called you sassy, which is not a word that I would learn.
Okay. That particular word, maybe not, but not fitting
you're
the
stereotype. You're kind of zippy. You're kind of punchy. You got a little character going on. Alright, dude. Here's where we left things off. You were going to hell. It's pretty much the end of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, yeah, you said I was going to.
Well, the question isn't what I say. The question is, what is truth? Here's what I was trying to reason with you about. Inside of your brain, that conscience should be informing you, you know what? I have lied. I have stolen. I have lusted. I've been a murderer in my heart by being angry at people. I've dishonored my parents. I've taken God's name in vain. Your conscience should actually agree with what I'm saying to you. Your conscience bears witness that you have broken God's laws.
I don't think you can tell me what my conscience should think. I think my conscience should agree with what I believe.
Okay, so that's still, no offense, dude, but that's still irrelevant. It's like a criminal saying to the judge, "Judge, I don't care what you tell me what my conscience should say. It's what I think." That is irrelevant. The question is, what is truth, dude? That's the big question. It doesn't matter what I'm saying. See, what I'm sharing with you, I believe fervently with all of my heart. I would die for what I'm sharing with you, all right?
We should hold those values, but...
But that still doesn't make them true. Dude, I'm a stranger. I could be with a cult. I could be planning on kidnapping you and taking you away to sell you into slavery. You have no idea.
You'd choose a better place than this. This is a little conspicuous.
Yeah, I guess I can't even come up with a response to that because I don't... Thankfully, I don't quite have that criminal mind that apparently you have.
Hey.
So, you don't know anything about me, and it's irrelevant what I believe to be true. The question is, what is truth? Here's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus Christ is either the truth or he is not.
And we know that because we found a book that says that, right?
Didn't find it. We've got eyewitnesses reporting, putting it in a book, that you might know how to be saved from the wrath of God. Here's the deal, Ryan. This is a court case. I don't know if you're into law or not, but you will be brought before the just judge, and you will be found guilty because he knows everything. And he, because he is righteous, just, and good, must punish you and every other lawbreaker. And he will. But God has other attributes besides righteousness and justice. He's also merciful and gracious, and he's kind. And he wants to save sinners like you. But he can't just say, everybody goes free, because then he wouldn't be righteous and just anymore. So we've got a dilemma, we've got tension. God, the just judge of all the world, must punish all people according to what they have done. But he's rich in mercy. So, to satisfy both, Jesus, God himself, became a human being to be your representative. To be punished by men, beaten by men, hung on a cross by men, taking the punishment of God himself on your behalf so that your guilty crimes can be paid for and satisfied by his good work. You, the bad man, your deeds put on the good man, Jesus Christ, his goodness credited to your account in exchange. That is the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Christianity. So, God offers you forgiveness, mercy, and everlasting life. And more than that, Jesus kept all the laws that you've broken so that all of that goodness can also be credited to your account so you can not only be seen as not guilty, but as righteous. You can be forgiven. Your conscience can be cleansed. You can inherit eternal life. You can be set free, claim not guilty, because of Jesus paying your fine on your behalf. The question still remains. Is that true? That's the question.
I don't think so.
All right.
But if I do find myself in that courtroom, I believe I could convert to Catholicism on the spot and I'd be okay, right?
No, that'd be like the judge saying to the criminal, or the criminal saying to the judge, "Judge, what do you want me to be? That's what I'll be." The judge will say, "No, no, 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 no. You have got a fine. You must pay your fine. Somehow justice must be satisfied." And the provision that God has made is Jesus. You've broken God's laws. Jesus has paid your fine.
Broken the God that you believe in his laws.
That is all. That is partially correct. Mm-hmm. But is my belief true or not? We still come back to that issue.
I don't think I'm in the place to decide whether your beliefs are right.
First of all, it won't offend me, but I'm irrelevant. All right? The question is the gospel of Jesus Christ true or not? Here's my plea for you, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Think about these things, okay? Because if what I'm saying to you is true, you have a death sentence on your head. God will strike you once, and he will not need to do it twice. He will get you, and you will pay for your crimes against him. Okay?
Okay.
That's a fact, if I'm right.
If you're right.
All right? So you need to choose whether I'm right or wrong, whether the Bible is correct or not. Don't land in the land of postmodernism that says, well, that's just what people, they can believe whatever they want to, I'll believe whatever I want to, and that's truth for me. We don't get to create truth any more than I get to create the campanile as God. It is either right or wrong. I'm either right or wrong. You're either right or wrong. So you would do well to say to me right now, friend, I think you're wrong. That would be more in alignment with what truth is, true or false.
Okay, I think you're wrong.
Well done. All right. You're sure?
Yes.
All right. So your conscience doesn't trouble you. You're not concerned.
Overall, no. I'm a good person. I believe in that.
Okay.
I have people that would attest to that.
All right. So the lusting, the lying, the stealing, the blasphemy, being a naughty child, that doesn't persuade you that you're not a good person?
I don't think I'm the only one.
You don't think what?
That I'm the only one.
You're not. That's still irrelevant.
I'm not sure it is.
How old are you?
20.
Dude, I can guarantee you I have broken more of the laws than you have.
I believe you.
It's true. I'm certain of it. But that has nothing to... That has no bearing on your case. How you compare to others is irrelevant to the judge. The question is, how do you compare to the law? And the law, written on your heart, your conscience, bearing witness, should tell you, I'm guilty. I'm not good, I'm bad.
It should by your viewpoint, but by mine, I am no worse than anyone else. I'm better than quite a few people, and I'm fine with that.
All right. So I haven't been able to reason with you about what justice is. Will that argument work in a court of law?
I don't think yours would either. There's a clause in the Constitution against that.
All right. Constitution aside, you're standing in a courtroom. Can you point to other criminals and say, Judge, they committed... There's a story, dude, about a serial killer. I think he strangled 9 women. And you know what he said when he was interviewed? He goes, yeah, I'm not a bad guy. I mean, for a serial killer, I only strangled 9 women. Now, that's delusional. Why? Because he compared himself to other criminals. But when you compare yourself to the law, one murder makes you a murderer. One lie makes you a liar. One object stolen makes you a thief. But you've done far more than that. How many times have you taken God's name in vain?
I don't think I could count it.
Okay. The God who made you, who gave you that Chick-fil-A sandwich, who, by the way, you didn't stop for even a second to say thank you for this, instead, you've taken his name and dragged it through the mud by using it in a foul way. Whoa, dude! And that's why God says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain. You have been a criminal against your God. And he offers you mercy. And he offers you justice, but here's the crux of the situation, Ryan. You don't want to acknowledge it because you want to live the way that Ryan wants to live. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
But that is not necessarily why I don't want to acknowledge it.
Okay. What is it?
Because I don't think it's correct.
True.
True.
Okay. Then I will leave your company. You have been a delight to talk to.
Thank you.
But I would plead with you, if today or tomorrow or any other day that conscience of yours starts to work and starts to go, yikes, and the little alarm bells go off, and you start thinking, if I die, I've got a bad feeling about this. I want you to take a look at Islam and take a look at Roman Catholicism and Jehovah's Witness and Mormonism and Hinduism and Buddhism, and they're all going to tell you the same thing. Get to work and try really hard to make up for your bad deeds. Okay? That's what they all have to offer. So take whichever one. If you like to wear a Saudi Arabian outfit, if you like to wear a white shirt and a black tie, pick your favorite outfit and go with that one, because they all teach the same thing. Do a lot of works. But if you realize that your works aren't going to satisfy justice and you need forgiveness and mercy, Christianity is the only religion that has it for you. All right?
Take that into consideration.
All I can do is ask you to think. You're a thinking guy. Mm-hmm. You're pondering deep thoughts here on the campus. Ponder that one, because I think that's the deepest thought that you can ever grapple with. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. You are a gentleman, and I appreciate it. Thanks for putting up with me.
Of course.
Goodbye. This is Wretched Radio.